Hey, this is Winston Zeddemore, CEO of Zeddemore Industries and member of the original Ghostbuster team. You're listening to Why We Bust, brought to you by the Windy City Ghostbusters and Memoriam Development. We're talking about members in the community and giving back. So suit up, shut your traps, dial in your PKE, and keep busting. Because it still feels good. And before you ask, no, I did not catch the number of that ghost train. Sorry, I missed it.
And thank you, Winston. We really appreciate the intro there. President of Zeddemore Industries, he's doing some great things these days, let me tell you. We're excited to find out what else he's got in store for us. But what we've got in store for you tonight, this is Why We Bust, podcast presented by Windy City Ghostbusters and Memoriam Entertainment. So tonight, we're a couple minutes late, folks. I had a couple technical issues. Sometimes technology, you get a mini puff that gets in there and starts playing around with stuff. And you never know what kind of havoc they're going to wreak.
It gets real sticky after a while, a couple zaps there, the marshmallow gets everywhere. It's a pain.
It really does. Let me tell you, you never know what you're going to get with these guys. So everybody, I'd like to introduce to you Brian from our sister team here, Circle City Ghostbusters. So, Brian, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself and let's go into Circle City first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where are you guys based out of in Indiana?
All right. So, first of all, I'm Brian Newdorf. I'm the public relations director for the Circle City Ghostbusters in Indianapolis, Indiana. So right there in the heart. Circle City. That's what it's called. That's why we call it that way. Kind of like Windy City. There's a, we kind of go with those nicknames of our cities there.
Is there an actual circle?
Yeah, it's the Monument Circle right down there downtown. There's a big monument. It's a circle. If you stayed on it, you just go around and around and around and around.
I haven't delved far enough into Indy. That's one of those things I'd love to do one of these days. So, well, now we and everybody else know why it is called Circle City. So keep going. Don't let me interrupt you.
Oh, no problem. And, for what we do there in the Indianapolis, we've been now, I think, going into our 12th year as a franchise. And I've only been with about the group for about 3 years or so. If I can do my math correctly, it was sometime after COVID, about that, everything like before or after, it's kind of like that new marking in time for all of us. And, we raise money for a lot of local charities, sometimes charities that are not, on on the larger scale, some of the smaller ones, but, we range from some national ones to some smaller ones. And then, in a new year, we're getting things ramped up, but that's what I think is why we do this, kind of like why we bust in the first place, is the giving back part, to suit up, to give back. And I think it's not just the kids, but it's the big kids like us who just absolutely love what we're doing when they see us. And we both, I know, right? I mean, mine's all Lego back here.
My Lego is in a different section of the it's in a different wing of the basement here, but that's a big part of what we do is sometimes it's just about being a big kid, right? So now that we know a little bit more about Circle City and what you guys do over there, let's take it back to the 80s now. I don't want to ask how old you are, because we're not supposed to do that. Right?
I'm okay with my age. I think I look outstanding. Like, I think I look like Winston there. I look outstanding for my age.
It's the touch of gray.
Just a little bit. I mean, I'm wearing a hat for certain reasons. I don't have the cloth like you do. I'm slightly jealous. that's a lot more than I'm.
Eventually, I want to go for the Steve with Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just jealous. It's all good. What year were you?
1977.
77. Okay, so you were you were 7 years old when Ghostbusters came out in theaters.
Six, because I'm an end of 77. So six. I'm like November. I'm like a 1 month from Christmas. So like a month and a half from the end of the year. So pretty much the whole year I'm not seven. You know, that's how it works.
Right. So do you remember the movie coming out when you were a kid?
Were you already enthralled in other stuff? Yeah, at seven, no, but I think it was the cartoon, you know? So for me, that was the gateway, you know? I mean, I think I saw some of the movie, but it was the cartoon. And, you know, that's, I had all the action figures and stuff. And then I do remember, we celebrated another guest that you have on, Jacob. And it was his birthday. So again, a belated birthday. We went and saw GB2, and that Ghostbusters 2 is what I remember seeing in the movie theater. So that's my memory of a movie in the movie theater that I remember seeing of Ghostbusters, but it was a cartoon. I mean, I saw the first one, but it was like cartoon GB2, but I mean, I'd seen the first one.
I think if, you know, if you're around our age, I was 81. So still in the same bracket. In the 80s, if you turned on HBO or Cinemax, or, you know, anytime you turned on one of the cable movie channels, you were bound to run into Ghostbusters. Like, it was just
special. You had HBO. Wow. I mean,
well, you know, some of us had an uncle who was a Chicago cop who got those cheater boxes. So, but I don't know what you're talking about. So
I had to wait for those free weekends, those free preview weekends.
The free preview weekends. Oh my God, that's right. I can remember being over to buddy's house, like, hey, we've got HBO for the weekend. It's like, all right, let's get the popcorn. But, you know, you really couldn't not run into the original movie during the 80s at some point. But like you mentioned, the cartoon was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
For kids. I mean, you couldn't walk into a toy store. Geez, you know, you go on your grocery store aisle, you got your Ecto cooler. So it was the phenomenon, I like to call it, of the 80s that you really couldn't escape. So here's a question for you. Sure. Since you mentioned Ghostbusters 2, it's often a hotly debated topic here. Okay. Between 1 and 2, which one's your favorite? And there's only one right answer.
1.
That's the wrong answer, according to some people. No,
I mean, the first one, I mean, it's my favorite. I think it's the better one.
Yeah.
But the more I watched Ghostbusters 2, I learned new things. But it's the first one. I mean, it's quotable. We don't have two without one. Usually that's that's typically, I mean, there are a few exceptions where the one of the sequels is better than the original, but you always have to almost default back to the original, because without the original, you don't get the sequels. So.
Right. And that's absolutely the truth. You know, it's like Back to the Future. You can't have number three if you didn't have number one. But I, you know, as I got older, you know, I the first Ghostbusters will always be near and dear to my heart. It is absolutely one of my favorite movies. But two really started to grow on me after a while. And I saw two in the theater. I can remember vividly going to see it. And I was like, okay, it's good. I think as I got older, maybe I appreciated the humor of it a little bit, maybe some of the campiness of it.
Okay.
Because the first one is just, it's lightning in a bottle, right? It's so perfect. The comedic timing, the actors, everything works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Ghostbusters 2, it's often hard to follow something like that. So I think they did great with what they had. But yeah, as I got older, it had to grow on me. And now maybe it's because I've seen the first one so many times. I don't know.
You know, it was kind of interesting. It was brought up again for a wonderful Jacob's birthday. We went and rented a theater and watched Ghostbusters 2, which you don't get to see. Like, we go see Ghostbusters like what, 5 times a year, it seems like, in a movie theater and things like that. So you get to go see Ghostbusters 2. And that was like, that's kind of cool. You know, so to see that on the big screen again, that was a lot of fun. So, you know, it tried to capture a lot of the same stuff. But you know, and like you said, it grows on me. And then the debate in our household is like, you know, we put the video game right up there. I mean, I bought a PlayStation 3 literally just for the game. That's it. That's why I'm a PlayStation guy.
I thought you were going NES there for a second.
No, the video game, 2009.
Did you ever play the original NES game?
Yes, I did.
Okay. If child of the 80s, if you didn't play the original Ghostbusters game on NES, there may have been something wrong with you. When I was a kid, I found it hard to enjoy. Like, trying to understand what was going on. Like, what?
Okay.
But I guess as an adult, again, one of those things I can appreciate more, liking retro games and such. But yes, Ghostbusters, the video game. So you played it on PlayStation. I think I played it on Xbox originally. So did that kind of ignite something, maybe a little spark before you started doing this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, I haven't been part of this until like after COVID. So. But I've always been a fan. I had all the toys, and then, go to college, my mom gave them away. The only thing I still have left is my right? That's it. That's all I have left. So when they did get the toys, like the firehouse, all the ghosts, it's like it gone. No asking. So I'm like, man. My mom gave them away.
Well, if she gave them away, hopefully they went to a home where they were appreciated.
Yeah.
And not,
I hope so too. I mean, I know where they went. I'm not going to say, but no, a lot of, if I left things at my house, at my mom's house, it was gone after college and when I moved out. So it's hard to find anything that I once had. So, but I did have my Ecto, and I'm not a big, but then, I think it was because, you said now you hadn't been around it and stuff. And then, there's talks, there's not a movie, early days of the internet, any kind of, wasn't always at your fingertips. You had to still dial in and stuff like that. And then, so 2009, there's like rumors movie, but it was written by everybody. It was going to be like the de facto third movie, right? It was just going to be like this thing. That's kind of how I looked at it and thought about it. So it was like, I got it. And so me playing it, not at the time, that was the gateway for my boys. And I have three sons. Okay. They're like, the twins are almost 25. And my youngest is now 23. Two of the three are in the Circle City Ghostbusters with me. So that is pretty cool. And that was, if you ask Zach, one of my sons, he will say it was me playing the video game that got him interested in Ghostbusters.
That's always fun to be able to pass it down to the next generation, right? I'm sure that Afterlife and Frozen Empire definitely helped as a catalyst with some of that for them too. I'm imagining.
Oh, absolutely! But I think we were already big fans.
You're already into it.
Yeah, I mean, Ghostbusters was a thing. We played the game. We would talk about it, quote it. My son is still jealous because I have, and I can say, I have literally gotten to say and answer the question when somebody asked one time, where do those stairs go? In a complete conversation, I was able to go, they go up.
Oh, that's great.
Now, that the story great. Behind that is, and this is how it's set up. I'm on television. I'm a meteorologist. I was working. They had just redesigned the set that I worked at, and they had fake stairs behind the new set. And he's a radio guy that I did stuff with. And he happened to see it. And he's like, so he literally, out of curiosity, he was like, so there's stairs behind you. Where do those stairs go? And without missing a beat, I was like, they go up. So
that's perfect. Oh, man. It's fun when you can get movie quotes in real life, isn't it? When it actually has substance and purpose.
that one's probably going to be one of the hardest quotes you're ever going to have to say. Unless somebody, where do those stairs go? You don't miss a beat. So
timing. You got to be on that one. That's great. So tell us a little bit. So Are you still a meteorologist? Is that still something you do?
I am still a meteorologist. I'm just not on television anymore. I left TV. So as the Circle City Ghostbusters, I'm the parameteorologist, you know, all these new these scientific fields introduced with Frozen Empire. So yes, I can say, hey, back off, man. I'm a scientist. I do when I'm not busting ghost. I work for the National Weather Service. So if you don't like the warnings or advisories, you can blame me. All right. I mean, I already get blamed for everything at this point. So the group so far, the way it works with the weather machine is some of the people at our office like are in the group likes to say it seems to be nice weather when I'm a part of when I'm showing up. So there you go.
I could go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole. I love good conspiracy theory.
Seems like it. Seems like it. I don't make the garbage. I just drive the truck. Okay. That's what I say.
There you go. That's a great analogy. Hang on.
I can't take complete credit. I can't take complete credit for that line. A guy was retired in Indianapolis when I was a kid, because I'm from the Indianapolis area. And that's what he always says to tell people. Like, you get blamed for the weather. I don't make the garbage. I just drive the truck. And so that is stuck with me to this day.
So you must use that phrase quite often, because we have Jacob Bartlett over here who has chimed in saying the same thing. Brian doesn't make the garbage. He only drives the truck. But I want to take a second here to acknowledge some of our comments. Wow, we got a lot of comments here. So. We got Miss Builder saying it could have been Slimer. Yeah, it was infecting my computer earlier. Yes, definitely somebody with slimy fingers was probably in my computer. Brian is handsome, from Mr. Jacob Bartlett.
Well, I appreciate that. He's a stone cold fox himself. So
he's not. He is. Let me tell you, he's in person.
Wow. I know. It's the charisma.
It is the charisma. We got Terry Pryor here. Hey, from the Sioux Empire. Terry, we love it when you're stopping by. Yeah, Jamie Hodges officially wore out my Ghostbusters 2 VHS. Good thing I have two more.
So, you know what? Speaking of retro type stuff, I found my original cassette tapes to both Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. So I broke them out. I bought something so I could play those cassettes again. So yes, I still have them. Sadly, my Sony Walkman did not work anymore. So,
oh geez, you know what? If I went back to my mother's house, and it's a running joke. It's, you know, well, did you ever have this toy? Yeah, I probably still have it in my mother's attic. my mother's attic is a treasure trove of 80s and 90s toys and memorabilia and stuff that I still have only probably hit maybe like 1/20th of digging all that stuff out. The only soundtrack that I am able to currently find is my Back to the Future soundtrack on cassette. So, that one, I could have worn that out as a kid. Yeah. I had the Ghostbusters soundtrack. I had Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2, but there was something about that Back to the Future soundtrack that when that music hits and you're mowing the lawn, dun, 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 I'm running with the lawnmower up a hill. Oh yeah. It's
for some weird reason, when I'm driving and that comes on, my car gets to 88 miles an hour. I just don't understand.
Real quick. And yeah, speaking of core memories, how about that Coca-Cola commercial in the intro, core childhood memory from Jamie Hodges. We got Jacob. Thanks for the birthday shout out.
There you go. Good job, Ryan. It's still close. You can celebrate all. I believe you should celebrate all month. That's just my take.
All month long. Mm-hmm. GB2 is a rom-com with ghosts. Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah. Jacob Bartlett, I want to steal your birthday idea. Too cool. You know some awesome people. Yeah, having birthday parties at theaters right now are a thing. If you can find one that'll do it where you got some tables and some snacks, I fully support that. And man, Jacob, you are on fire tonight. My favorite part of seeing Ghostbusters 2 on the big screen again was noticing Janos crying when the Ghostbusters check out the museum and Winston consoling him in the background. That is great. I definitely did not realize that until I was older watching that. We got Matthew Jason, we're going to see you on here a little bit. I have both GB1 and GN2 on NES. I've never played GB2 on NES.
No, all right, I'm going to have to
hunt that down. Let's see. We've got a lot of video game talking here. Vigo is huge on the big screen. I can agree with that. Let's see. And you're at Circle City Ghostbusters looking good, Brian. Well, you are looking good here, Brian. So tell me a little bit about some of the events that Circle City does. What's your favorite event? And then what are a couple others that you enjoy doing?
Oh, wow. So I'm going to try to think my favorite events, you know? So I think my favorite event, you have to be, it's a marathon. I think it's just so cool because it's the environment and it's October. We do a big street fair in Irvington. It's kind of like a subdivision of Indianapolis. And I mean, it's just go, 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 go. But the people are great. It's cold. It's fall. It's outside. I'm myself. They look forward to when they have myself and the little Newdorf as your carnival barkers, because we're just those type of people that, and we play well off of each other, father and son on bullhorns. But we just try to do a really good job of getting that information great. And stuff and having a good time. So I really like that. And then the cons are great. And I'm still, you know, we're still scratching the surface and getting to newer events. And I find us in new things. So sometimes I just like the appearances. You know, I like those appearances where maybe we get a donation to show up and just kind of add to the nostalgia. And that's really cool, because then people are just like, you're not so focused on the charity, which is extremely important, but then you can kind of mingle with people and then you get to find the guys like I was like 10 years ago that I would have thought that was the coolest stuff in the world. But now I get to live it and be a part of it. So I think those are all the different things. And I like the cons. I mean, my first time seeing the group, I went to my first con, right? I went right before I got my pack. And I was like, this is what I've been missing out on. This is geekdom. I love this. This is great. This is my people. And I hadn't been to one. So yeah, it took me leaving television. So to anybody, any of these franchises that may be in like North Dakota or Pennsylvania, Erie, PA is where I live, Rochester, New York, over in, Idaho, I'm starting to realize, oh, hey, these groups were there. I just wasn't doing that kind of thing. And then finally getting here. And I mean, so I drive. Here's my story about me. So especially myself and my one son, Zach, who lives at home still. We live near Louisville, Kentucky. All right. For those of you who don't know, right, like Gary is a suburb or outside of Chicago in the northwest side of the state of Indiana. Where I live, it's like part of Louisville. So we are at the very southern part down around the Ohio River. But I still make that drive because, again, I'm from the Indianapolis area. But what I love about all of these groups, I've got a standing invite with the Ghostbusters of Kentucky to help out when need be. But the personality wise fit perfectly with the Circle City Ghostbusters. So that's why I make the nearly 2-hour drive for an event to go up there and be a part of it, because it's just, I needed it, especially after COVID and moving and starting a new job. I needed some people. I needed a tribe. I needed a place to fit in. And so for me to get into it was finding a HazLab pack. I was even one of those guys who got it afterwards. I had to pay the markup, but managed to find a wand and a pack for $800. So for me, I still consider that a really good deal post, you know, after it, I missed out on the fan, you know, the crowdsourcing aspect of it. Yep. And then I was like, okay, I'm doing this, and then found a group, and it's become it's grown. I've now have 3 packs and a 3D printer, and my son is building a video game pack, and he goes even hardcore than I do.
Oh man. That's awesome. Bringing the family in, but you hit on something in there that I don't want to blow past.
Oh yeah,
is gloss over. Talking about COVID and finding somewhere to fit it. I think a lot of us, when we had some downtime and we had some time to kind of sit back and kind of reflect, it's like, you know, what can I do that is something that I love and incorporate into helping somebody else? Mm-hmm. And that's where I found my home at Windy City was hey, it's 2020. Everything's on lockdown. My business at that point was like, there was nothing going on. So I'm like, you know, let's Google those Windy City guys that I saw at Fan Expo, and let's see what they're all about. And it took a little bit of time for things to kind of, you know, clear up a little bit till I wanted to go venture out and do events. But like you said, you start meeting these guys and it's like you found your people. Right.
And it clicks. Yeah. And for me, you know, the transition from being on television, I did a lot of community stuff. I mean, you know, the Polar Plunge is coming up that we've got an event for in February for the Special Olympics. Well, a couple times when Twin Falls hosted the Special Olympics, I was the MC for the entire like summer events in June. So, you know, I missed that. I missed that community part that came with being a local celebrity. You're right. You know, being on television again, can use those lines from the movie. You're not quite like a scientist. You're more like a game show host. And trust me, the group would definitely agree with that one. But I do miss that. So that was what I missed. I missed that interaction. And I love my coworkers, but I am an extrovert in an introverted world. And I needed to get some energy out. All right. Yeah. I needed like a dog caged up. I needed to run. And so that opportunity to get on a bullhorn, start talking to people, getting them to come in and get donations and just and doing it for that. You know, so it brought back the parts that I really liked about being a part of a community when I was on television. And so for me, it was a great giving me my fix, my high, if you will, from that standpoint and giving back.
Well, what was it like at your first event? What did you feel throwing on the flight suit? What was some of the thoughts that went through your head? And then actually arriving at your first event with Circle City, walk me through more, that. How did it feel? How to go?
I'm even trying to figure out what my first event was. Wow. I don't even remember what my first event was. I know what a couple of them were. Oh, okay. So my first event was a trivia thing. Whoops, some garbage. We got more stuff on. Maybe I need to make sure I can't. Well, if I turn it down, I won't be able to hear you.
Is that your mic?
I hope maybe it is.
Oh, there we go. No, you're perfect now.
All right, there we go. So it could be my internet connection. So I do now know it was a trivia. So, you know, all my group, all of the, like the different events were like really small ones. So we did a trivia night. We just happened to show up at a brewery that was had a kind of a special Ghostbuster themed brew. And it was a trivia night. And so we were there. I remember that one. And, you know, I also remember it was like, we were helping them with some trivia and there was a weather one. And I was like, okay, I got this, but I don't know a stranger and I could just fit right in. All right. I took to it naturally just because it was kind of what I was doing with TV. You know, I could just have to go in and kind of perform it was so cool to be in the flight suit and have your pack and different things like that. I mean, I also learned in these early days, the values of having a repair kit. Okay. You know, you always have glue and, so now I'm the go-to glue and repair kit guy because of those first few events. Plus, I went gung-ho. Like, my pack wasn't just a pack. It had a slime blower attachment on the sides and on the wand. So, I learned real quickly you need to either go small or have a pack that's meant for events.
That's, you know what? That's a very important PSA for anybody looking to get into this. And if you don't have a few events under your belt already, pack size matters. Mm-hmm. Because if you're doing a parade that is longer than, we'll say, you know, a quarter mile, carrying a HasLab is daunting. HasLab is very heavy. Even once you start to modify it and you start to add things to it, they get to be, again, quite daunting to carry that. So, and this is the other thing is, the original Spirit packs, not the full size Spirit, but the original 80%. Spirit, 80%, I didn't realize this until I started modifying mine. When you put all of these stuff into it again, yes. my spirit pack is, I need to weigh them. I think it is actually as heavy, if not heavier, than my HasLab.
Wow. See, I did get the spirit pack.
That's how we got the name Papa Smurf. He is short, but heavy.
So my spirit is now, I think it gets more you. My spirit is like, has become like the main pack. It's the one behind me here.
Is that 80%?
No, that's a full spirit. Like that's what was able to, I was still, cause like I got in time to have that. And, I also completely reworked the HasLab, took the slime blower. I'm working on some ideas, but it's, but this is significantly lighter than my HasLab pack. And I 3D printed most any kind of thing that I needed to modify. I was like, okay, I'm going strictly 3D. I'm not putting, if I don't need to, it's not going to get a real metal thing because I don't want to add weight.
Right. Yeah. And I'm staring at it right now. I have a life size spirit on the floor that's over here that I've, if for those that are keeping score and want to watch all the back episodes, this is year, I think, 2.5 that I've been working on it. Life happens, man. When you got kids, you got a job and stuff. Yeah, it's so, I fit it in where I can. It looks beautiful, but yeah, it's still missed it by that much. It's almost there.
So for me, I'm lucky enough that I'm getting into this now with my boys, but they're adult boys, you know, they're both adult kids, and I have the income and I can do this. I don't have to, I mean, that's why I would have never have gotten into this earlier on, how expensive it was when they were kids, right? I'm like, at the time that would have been a used car for us. And I will say, as glamorous as being on television and being in local television news is, they don't pay very well. And when you have three kids and a family to take care of, you know what, kids like to eat and saying, well, but dad's got a proton pack, doesn't go over well with the missus. Okay. So,
yeah. And my dad's got an awesome proton pack. What did you have for dinner last night? Like a month. we had one piece of ham on bread. Nah, it's not going
to
fly.
You know, I don't need my kids to be like, please more. Can I have some more, you know?
I get it. So what's your favorite pack out of all those?
I mean, right now I have two HasLabs because another guy down here, what's funny is I don't live very far from another guy who's at Ghostbusters of Kentucky. He was selling his HasLab. So I made an offer. I was like, okay, I'll have another one. And I'm keeping it mainly. He did some modifications, but I've not really touched it. I think my favorite is this one right here. My spirit. Because I took all the things I learned from the HasLab and did more soldering and stuff and was able to make the improvements on this one. Now I've done things better on that HasLab pack, but there was something about the fact that really starting with the soundboard and doing all the different things and 3D printing stuff and sanding and stuff, something about accomplishment. Like you're like, wow, I actually put a lot into this one. So I think that's why I like it the most, but it's also the lightest. So I wear it the most. But there's some pride in the fact that, you know, where it starts with the spirit to where it ends. And like, people are like, that's a spirit. I'm like, yeah, that's a spirit.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Like when you, now, did you do a full cyclotron rebuild on it?
Oh yeah.
You did. Okay. That's fun, isn't it?
Well, actually, it was fun. I mean, my son did it first, so I was watched. I was like, well, let's see what mistakes he makes.
Oh, that's a great way to do it. Supervise and learn from them.
He saw things that I did wrong, and it's like, okay, well, then here's what I do. And like, he has my old 3D printer, and I bought like the K2 that like can just spit these things out faster. It's like, this is great.
Yep. No, I will say for that life size, when you cut that cyclotron and the bumper off and fill everything in and go to a true bumper, it's a handsome boy. I gotta say,
you gotta sand them well.
Oh my God, the hours and hours of sanding on that thing.
Here's a pro tip. It's that I forget. It's not Warhammer, but it's like, okay, it's not called that, but the Citadel like paints. like that primer black, it's worth like the $11 for a can. I'm seeing there, Jacob, the brewery had the best fries. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I forgot.
And Jacob, listen, I understand to the people who have the scratch builds. Like, first of all, I helped a guy with theirs, and he was like, he did forgot to tell me that it was fiberglass, and that's my first experience with fiberglass, and I won't be dealing with fiberglass anymore.
Yeah, oh god, working with fiberglass is—it's so much fun. I work in the hot tub. It does. I work in the hot tub industry, and you know, most of our hot tub shells are made from fiberglass and acrylic, and having to lay fiberglass for repairs and stuff, which I've only done a handful of times because I tend to stay with. But it's itchy, it scratches, but then I have to cut. Well, not so much anymore because I have employees to do this, but cutting up the hot tub to dispose of them. When you have to cut any type of fiberglass, it creates a dust, which you neither want to breathe in or get anywhere on your skin, because once you do that, it becomes the itchiest thing ever. Oh, yeah.
I will say I found a new purpose for Gorilla Tape.
Real? What's that?
Getting the fiberglass pieces off of your skin.
Yes. Yes. Along with some hair. So if you want to look,
there's not much there, so it's all right.
Well, for others, if you want to look like a hairless cat, that's probably true.
But they're weird. Hairless cats, they're weird.
They are, aren't they? Well, hey, so what do you guys have going on over at Circle City? What's coming up down the pipeline here next for you guys?
We're kind of starting.
You guys just did something too recently, didn't you? Did you?
Yes. We went to Gleaners. There's a food bank here called Gleaners, and we had the opportunity. Something we do every year. They're one of the things, and we go into the warehouse, suited up, and mostly, which is a suit. The packs kind of stay away, but we help organize and sort through some foods and help them get into different baskets and different things that they need to get set out. So, unfortunately, I was not able to make that one. I think I ended up having to, I think weather was a reason for it. I had to pick up a shift or something like that. That's the downside about being the meteorologist for the weather service, is that sometimes if you may be off or if you have the hour and a half drive and, you know, weather's a problem between where you have to go, you may have to not go. But that's a lot of fun. I do like those things. So then we've got coming up the Polar Plunge. And I think we've got a few other ones in the works. It's, you know, it's early season, so the calendar is just slowly starting to fill in, and we're taking a couple of requests.
Well, and you say slowly now.
Oh yeah, it's gonna pick up.
Next thing you know,
it's October, and you don't even want to sleep.
It's October. It's October, and next thing you know, it's December all over again, and then you start the cycle. And it just keeps rolling.
Three cons, you know, so, you know, I'll start spending some time in Indianapolis instead of making the drive back and forth from the Louisville area. And it is a solid hour and 45, 2 hour drive, but hey, we're in the Midwest. We like to drive. So yeah, there we go.
This Jacob is true. And we got Jacob.
Jacob's helping me out. Events.ccghostbusters.com. Or you can just go to ccghostbusters.com as well and check out all the really cool things and check out our YouTube. So my son, like my youngest, kind of fast-tracked his way into the Circle City Ghostbusters as the film guy. So the latest film, he went to Ball State to do that film thing. And they've got like a – so he's helped the group out a lot of that. So – a lot of fun things as well, but yeah, we've got a couple of events. I'm going to pull it up. So since I want to answer your question, and I want to answer it now that Jacob and of course our wonderful, outstanding Nick, with regards to our absolutely wonderful website. Again, that is ccghostbusters.com, and go check it out, everyone, because it's a lot of fun and some really cool stuff. And apparently, I don't know how to type. I don't know. It's not coming up for me, and I don't want to say, I don't know if I typed in something. I probably typed something wrong as I'm trying to like old man it with my like two fingers. So, hey, you know, I was trying to talk and do all this stuff and chew gum and stuff like that all at the same times. And apparently I can't do either one of those. So There we go.
I'm no, just and pull for it anybody that's I watching, I know Jacob had brought it up.
What was that?
So before you do that, I just want to mention here too. Jacob had brought it up here in the chat too. If anybody out there is looking for a local Ghostbusters chapter or looking to find out who in your area busts like we do, whoyougonnacall.org is a wonderful place that a lot of our members have set up, or a handful of our members have set up for us to go and find those groups. So that way, if you're looking for a Ghostbusters group local to you to join or to book for events or whatever, that is your place to find us. So Brian, go ahead. What did you find there?
Oh, that's, I was right. We have our Polar Plunge coming up on February 21st, and we're still slowly filling out some of the other events. I know we've been contacted for a few things. We may have some other ones working with, one of my other early events was going to, we've done now two of these, and that is the local Indy Fuel, minor league hockey is a lot of fun. Just walking around and stuff like that. I mean, one time I did this wasn't even an event. Anytime I have an excuse to put on the suit, any doesn't matter where. So the Bats down here in Louisville, so not to confuse with the Indianapolis Indians. So the Louisville Bats were having a game, and they, ironically enough, were playing the Indianapolis Indians. And it was like their Halloween night, like the halfway point of the 6 month point from when Halloween is. And they're like, yeah, suit up. Mm-hmm. So I looked at my son and I'm like, we're doing this. We're suiting up. We're just going to go. We're just going to have a good time. It's not an event. We just can just suit up and we're out of, the area. And of course we had the patch on and everything. People loved it. It was already getting bombarded and we weren't even trying to do anything. We were just trying to have a good time. So that was a lot of fun. I thought it was the irony that we were playing the Indianapolis Indians and stuff like that. So those are
great.
Those are, and just like, I've made an RC trap and I put the camera on it and I did it in the Indianapolis 500 parade. That's a lot of fun, especially if you're from this area, to be a part of that. I mean, to be part of iconic things in the city. They've done things with the Indianapolis Indians. We would like to do more and work our way to the Pacers or to the Colts, to the Fever. Slowly but surely, we're going to find our way there. I have no doubt about that. It's just we want to raise awareness and help different charities. And I think finally getting into with the Starlight Foundation and going to Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital down here about a year ago this time to get those robes, the gowns and stuff that look like Ghostbuster suits in the slime.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
No, that's all amazing stuff. Well, I am always glad to see the good stuff over that that Circle City is doing. Brian, you're doing an amazing job helping these guys out. So as we conclude our interview, I must ask you the predominant question of this podcast. Brian, why do you bust?
Why do I bust? That's a great question. Honestly, I've wanted to bust all my life. In fact, so much so, and this is a true story, I was part of two paranormal investigation teams when I was in Idaho, just because I thought it was kind of cool. It's always interesting to hear people I think we have two schools of camps in our group. There's some people who actually do believe in the paranormal and they think it's, not real. I mean, if it's real, it's real because we're in a job. That's why we bust. No. But for me, I bust because not only do I get a chance to give back, that's huge. Mm-hmm. I love that aspect of it. I mean, to me, that is what it's all about. But I get something in return. I get camaraderie. I get some great friends. But we're all doing it for the same reason. We're all a bunch of, and I don't care, saying geeks, dorks, whatever anybody wants to call us. I love it because we get to celebrate this thing, this fandom that we love, unapologetically. And to see people when they light up and stuff. But at the end of the day, you get something good out of it. The charities you do. And then of course, as a dad and in my 40s, but having 20-year-old sons that they're doing this with me. I mean, now I'm like, this is just outstanding. So I bust for those reasons. That's exactly why I do it.
Well, we appreciate all your hard work. I know that Circle City does, because Jacob just said Brian has been amazing to be a Ghostbuster with. Love this man. And that's that camaraderie you're talking about right there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That gets you right there in the feels. Well, Brian, thank you for joining us. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say one more thing. Like I said, I had opportunities, and then again, nothing about against any other group, but I could see what Circle City was doing. And that I knew right away that was a group I needed to be a part of. I mean, it was personality wise, but then just seeing what they did. And I was just scratching the surface about what this group means to all the franchises and what Jacob does on a bigger scale with Who You're Gonna Call, and his artwork, and like then what you guys do. You know, I got a chance to really cool. I came up for one of your hosting one of the screenings for Frozen Empire, and got to come up and working with these other franchises and stuff like that. I really love that part. I got to go to Ghostbusters Day. I took my son. We went, and to see all the different franchises and stuff, it was just like, wow. I was introduced to a world that was there and I just didn't know it was. And it was it's the highlight of everything. And so you're never going to the experience. And best part was, it was like a fall day in a June in New York City. And if you've ever been in New York City in the summertime, it sucks. It can be hot. It's nasty. But to walk around in your flight suit and it's comfortable, and then people are just stopping you in this flight suit in New York City. Wow. So, and that was not an event, but to have that memory now, man, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Creating those core memories. Well, Brian, thank you for enjoying us. Folks, don't go anywhere. We got a special guest that's coming up next. But Brian, we'd love to have you back here eventually and catch up with you in a while and talk some more Ghostbuster-y stuff.
Sounds good.
So have yourself a great night, man. And we will talk to you, and we will talk to all of your Circle City Busters later.
Sounds good.
All right, folks, stick with us here for one second. We have a say from our member Matt. So Matt, let's get you in here.
How we doing?
There we are, Matt. How are we, buddy?
I'm excellent. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great. Glad to see you. Glad to have you finally on here for the show.
We do plan
on doing a little bit long. We want to do a little longer interview with you later on, but I've been watching from the sidelines here. I've been watching kind of what you're doing. I want you to bring to the masses now. What is this initiative that you're starting, and what have you got cooking up?
Yeah. So I started Ghostbusters Against Epilepsy, and it's exactly that, Matt. It is an opportunity for Ghostbusters everywhere, no matter where you are in the world, to carry the torch, to wear that purple, to raise awareness against epilepsy. 1 in 26 people will be diagnosed with epilepsy at one point in their life. I am 1 in 26, and that is part of my journey. And we'll go into it a little bit later, but I mean, that's kind of a huge part of my story as to why I got into wanting to bust in the first place and get into philanthropy and all that. But with that said, I just started it because I was like, you know what? I don't see this being a thing. I'm going to give it a go. And I've had, you know, such a great start to my busting journey with the Windy City Ghostbusters. And I'm like, you know what? There's an opportunity here, and the support from my team has been amazing, and the amazing contributions from Jacob Bartlett from the Circle City Ghostbusters in creating this amazing design. Thank you, Jacob. I see you there, friend. And just the outpouring of love and support that I've seen from different members sprinkled throughout the interwebs across the country and different franchises wanted to get in and see what this is all about. Like it's been amazing. And so that's kind of the ethos behind it, Matt, is that it's about bringing teams together for a common cause. And who I started to support was Epilepsy Foundation of Greater Chicago. They have an office downtown. I started doing events with them in September of last year. They were doing, they do different events, walks, things like that. And I just put together a team because you can just sign up on their website and join, you know, join and create your own team. And I was like, I'm going to create a team of busters and I'm going to see who goes. And I've had great support, busters and non-busters alike. And last year for the Foundation of Greater Chicago and Foundation of America combined, about $1,500 in just a couple of events. And I'm like, there is something to this. And I'm just going to jump in and see what happens. Sink or swim, Matt.
Dude, jump in feet first, head first, whatever you got to do to get the job done. I mean,
yeah.
When you find a cause that is near and dear to your heart, I find for people that is you get so much more passionate about it. And again, I've kind of been watching from the sidelines here what you're doing. And I think because you are personally affected by this, this is something that is not only near and dear to your heart, but something that you have to literally live with.
Yeah.
It gives you that much more drive to want to do good for people. And now you get to incorporate something you enjoy to it also.
Absolutely.
So it's a win-win. So while we support you 100% in all of these endeavors, I think we're going to see lots of good stuff come from this. Can people find more information about what you're doing?
Yeah. Just go on either Facebook or Instagram, look up Ghostbusters Against Epilepsy, give us a follow, shoot me a message and just say, hey, we're a Ghostbuster at fill in the blank part of the world. How can we get involved? Well, right now, I mean, there are epilepsy advocacy groups all over the place. And the foundation is just one of many all over the place. And so I'm at this point where I'm like, you know, find a foundation in your backyard, local Ghostbusters group, get involved, tag us, let me know who you're wanting to support. And we will lift you up and your franchise's cause to join us. Not only that, but there's groups like Danny Did Foundation. There's all kinds of groups all over the place. If you're involved or want to get involved, or you are personally affected or know somebody that is 1 in 26, let us know. I want to be a part of your story and your journey. And in case anyone's asking or wondering, I am working on trying to get another patch run together. it's just kind of trickling out slowly out of my own personal pocket to try and make this happen. And so I've gotten some messages before, people that are interested and wanting to be part of it. And this small run is going to the Epilepsy Foundation of Greater Chicago. But as things progress, who knows? We'll support anyone.
Yep. And thank you, Miss Builder, for reminding me. One of the reasons we wanted to make sure you came on tonight is tomorrow is International Epilepsy Day.
That's right.
Yep.
Lots of times this year to mark your calendar for epilepsy awareness. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, there's some dates in March, and then all of November is Epilepsy Awareness Month. So thank you for pointing out tomorrow. But yes, there's going to be all kinds of times this year that we're going to be highlighting the calendar for sure.
Awesome. Well, Matt, hey, as a fellow Windy City Buster to another, again, I commend you for all of your efforts in this. We as a team will always be here to support you, buddy. That's going to wrap it up. Again, Matt, we're gonna bring you back for a full episode here. Sounds soon. Great. But again, we wanted to make sure we highlighted that because I know you've got a good story and you got a lot of good busting stuff to tell us. So,
absolutely.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us, folks. Again, bi-weekly, 2 weeks from now, we will have another show and, we can't wait to see you all there. So from the Windy City Ghostbusters to you, we bid you adieu, take care and be safe.
Take care.
Memoriam Development.